Lord our God, we are so thankful to you for the blessing of worship tonight. We pray, Lord God, that you may speak to us through the preaching of your word. Oh, and stop our ears that we may listen, that we may take in your truth. Feed us your word now, so that by faith in Jesus, one day, we shall see you face to face and hear you speaking to us. And we adore God through the Lamb of God. O Lord, come. Come and speak to us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, let us turn to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Well, dear friends, I trust you still remember that as we were leading up to Christmas, we began to look at these few verses and meditated on the coming of the Son of God, how God the Father sent his Son to be born under the law to redeem us. But we have not finished. We sort of stopped before the end of verse 5. And tonight I want to carry on our meditation on this great passage. As I ponder upon these few verses afresh, I'm just amazed at how rich is God's word. Just four verses here. The language of the New Testament letters is so condensed, so compact. And it really takes time and effort to unpack the message. It'll be tremendously helpful if we learn to read our Bible at a very slow speed. Maybe driving at about 5 kilometers per hour. That's one of the benefits of studying the original languages, because you are forced to slow down at every word. You try to understand every word and the connection of it, and through it, we come to learn so much more about the riches and the power, the complexity and the unity of God's word. But without learning the languages, let me encourage you. You don't need to learn Hebrew and Greek. You got a good translation, like the New King James or NASB or whatever, more literal translation. And then just slow yourself down. Really slow. You meditate upon every word, every phrase. And then you compare scripture with scripture. You can benefit so much from it. You notice here, the Lord God is so good. He's so generous. I don't know how you feel tonight. Are you feeling that God is so good to you? That despite all that you have done or you have been, despite all your failures, the Lord is good. The one thing the devil want us not to believe is that the Lord is good and God is love. But look at how generous and good and gracious God is. We are told here, God has not only sent His Son to be born in order to redeem us. God has also sent His Spirit into our hearts in order to comfort us. There is this double sending of the Father. The Father sent His Son. Christmas. The Father sent His Spirit. Pentecost. The Father sent His Son to be born into this needy world, fallen world, to redeem people like us who are under the bondage of the curse of the law. You know, friends, by nature, we are under the curse of the law. The law condemns us. That's why we all have to die. And God also sent His Son, as we are told here, the Spirit of His Son into the hearts of believers to assure them that they are now adopted into God's family. Remember these two words, God's double blessing of redemption and adoption. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you believe in Jesus tonight. You know, we are not just being pardoned by God of all our sins. We've been received into God's own family with this double blessing. Let me put it like this to you. And this may be reflecting the national security law in Hong Kong, which I don't apologize. Now, suppose someone is charged of having broken the national security law, or something like that in other countries. This person is charged with rebellion against the central government. He's charged with treason. And then the prosecutor got all the evidence to court. It's over 2,000 pages of correspondence of this person and what he has done and so on. And all those things are true. And this accused person, yes, he has the heart to overthrow the central government. He had collaborated with foreign powers. And after long days of deliberation, presenting evidence and the barristers arguing and so on, it comes to the time of verdict. And the accused fully expect a guilty sentence and a long jail term. But the judge, that's emergent, should say to this accused, "Man, I declare you to be not guilty. Not guilty. You are set free immediately." And then as this man walked out of court as a free person, the judge comes up to him and says to him, "Son, come home with me. I live in a mansion. You live in a housing department unit. You come home with me. I'm going to adopt you to be my son." And all that is mine is yours. Come to my child. Well, it's a driver there. Now you will say that is unthinkable. I think it's quite unthinkable on earth. But that is precisely what God has done. Now let us look at the blessing of adoption. Look at what we are by birth, by nature. Well, by birth, we are all humans. We may be white or not so white, whatever color is our skin, but we are born dead in sin and trespasses. That is what we are by nature, as Paul says to believers in Ephesus. You were dead in trespasses and sins. And we by nature were children of wrath. Dear friends, that is what we are by birth, by nature. We may be born rich, we may be born poor, we may be born darker than other people, but by birth, by our deeds, we are all children of wrath. We are waiting for God's judgment and condemnation. But what happened? When you and I believe in Jesus, what happened? Our sins are pardoned. We are declared to be not guilty. Oh dear friends, this is a great blessing, isn't it? If we know anything about God's holiness and His holy standards, if we know anything about ourselves, our hearts, our past, our present, well, we have a guilty conscience. But Jesus died for sinners. He died for us. Our conscience is cleansed and we are declared not guilty. Not just that, but positively righteous. And we are clothed with Jesus' righteousness. That is what the Bible teaches about justification by faith in Christ alone. Justification, declare not guilty but righteous. How do we get that? By entrusting ourselves to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But there's this other blessing. Amazing. What Professor John Murray calls it, the apex of redemptive grace and privilege. It is this adoption. We are not only pardoned, we are not only redeemed from the curse of the law, but we are now adopted into God's own family. I don't know about all of you, some of us here are blessed to be brought up by loving parents. Others are not so blessed. But even those of us who are not so blessed to have loving parents, you know, by faith in Jesus, we have God as our adopted Father. And knowing that will compensate any lack of loving parents. But my dear friends, what a costly adoption that is. With human adoption, we know usually it's a long legal process involving some large expenses. I know of cases, Australians who went to Korea and adopted children because they were childless. They adopted these abandoned babies in Korea, and they said usually it's a long process. I don't think Korea is doing that anymore, I'm not sure, but it's a long process. It involves a lot of money, legal process, and so on. My dear friends, I want to remind you, our adoption to become children of living God involves the indescribable suffering of the Son of God. We are redeemed not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord Jesus prostrated himself to the ground and he cried out to God, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." In the garden, our Lord Christ was in such distress and sorrows, but he could cry out to God, "Abba, Father, Dad." In modern translation, perhaps, "Abba, Father." When our Lord Jesus was being nailed to the cross, you remember the first word on the cross? Jesus said to God, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." When Jesus was being nailed to the cross, he was conscious he was the Son of God. Enjoy that fellowship with God. But after 6 hours, can you imagine the eternity of hell compressing into 6 hours? The guilt and the punishment of all Christ's people compressing into 6 hours and laid upon Christ with no idea what sort of black hole that was. We couldn't even begin to imagine how heavy that load was. You remember toward the end of Jesus' suffering, he cried out with a loud voice. He got the energy. He was in command of his life. But what did he say? "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" What does it mean? "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus could no longer feel that sense of being loved by the Father, that delight of his Father, because he was under the curse of the law. He was bearing eternal hell in those 6 hours. He was forsaken by God. He felt that abandonment because he was under the curse of the law. His faith did not fall. He couldn't call to God, "Abba, Father," but he was still able to say, "My God, my God." That is what caused the Son. And shall we also say the Father? Did not the Father feel deeply for his Son to be suffering like that? So, dear friends, as we enjoy our sonship, let us always remember what it cost our Savior to acquire the blessing of adoption for us. I just want to also mention here, under this heading, adoption is through Christ. In verse 7 of Galatians 4, heir of God through Christ. There's no other way except by believing in Jesus as our Redeemer and our Elder Brother. It was so many years ago that there was this widespread heresy. We call this the old-style theological liberalism. And in those days, the teachers and the theologians who didn't really believe the Bible, they were talking about the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. They were saying, it doesn't matter whether you believe in Jesus. God is the father of all humanity. And we are brothers. We are brothers and sisters. Doesn't matter. You don't have to believe in Jesus. You may be Hindu, you may be Muslim, you may be atheist, you may be Buddhist. You don't have to believe Jesus. God is still your father. And we are still brothers and sisters. Well, that is not the teaching of the Bible. It's only through Christ that we can become children of the living God. There's no other way. And friends, I want to say this to you, especially to you younger ones. It's getting more and more difficult by the day for us just to say that. Just to say that. I remember years ago, I was moderator of Sydney Presbytery, and I gave an opening devotion, and I was talking about Christ being the only savior of the world, the only redeemer, and there was a leading elder, a magistrate in the secular court, and he got up and he prayed, basically contradicting everything I said. I'm thankful to the Lord that it's no longer such a case in our denomination. We live through difficult times in those days. Only through Christ we can have our sin forgiven and we are adopted as God's children. But you younger ones, it's getting more and more difficult for us just to say that, to believe that. We move on. We want to consider the enjoyment of sonship. The enjoyment of sonship. Years ago, I read in a news magazine about a little girl who was an orphan in China. And a rich professional couple in Australia, I think they were childless, they make all this effort to go to China, and they chose this girl, they adopted this girl, and took this girl back to Sydney here, and they were really rich. And this girl found it initially quite difficult to adjust. Well, she was an abandoned child in China. She was living this rat race in the orphanage. It would not be nice at all. But now, she's been cared for and loved by a tremendously rich couple. And she got so many tutors. Even a Chinese tutor to make sure that she keep on learning Chinese, English tutor, music lesson, maybe dance lesson. And parents took this girl to high societies, meetings and parties and so on. And it took this girl some time to adjust to this new lifestyle, to this new home that she loved so tremendously. And my dear friends, so it is with us. This sense of sonship, this sense that I'm a child of God, dawns in our consciousness gradually, and you and I come to enjoy this sonship more and more as the days and the months and the years go by. And the sense and enjoyment of adoption impacts every aspect of the Christian life. The consciousness that I've been adopted into God's family influenced my entire life as a believer. J.I. Packer once said, quote, "Sonship must be the controlling thought, the normative category at every point," unquote, of the Christian. Our controlling thought, what we should be thinking so constantly at every point of our existence as a Christian, is that we are children of God. I'm a child of God. That is what I am. That is my status. Adoption affects our relationship to God, our relationship to the world, to our future, to ourselves, to the church, to our siblings in Christ. Adoption really affects everything of the Christian's existence. Now let me invite you to turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16 and so on. A parallel to Galatians chapter 4, from verse 4 onward. Look at verse 15. Paul says, the Christian believers, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." I want you to notice it's the past tense there. When you and I believe in Jesus, we received the Spirit. And the Spirit is called the Spirit of adoption. And by this Spirit of adoption, we cry out, Abba, Father. Past tense. It happened in the past when we believe in Jesus. John 1, 12. "But as many as receive Christ, to them he gave, or God gave, the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." As we believe in Jesus, as we receive Christ to be our Lord and Savior, God gave us the right to become his children. So, we received the spirit of adoption when we believe in Jesus. But then notice in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, that the Spirit goes on to assure us that we are children of the living God. How does it go? In verse 16 of Romans chapter 8, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." You notice? It's the present tense. We receive the Spirit, past tense, by belief in Jesus. And the Spirit goes on witnessing with our spirit, is a co-witness. The Spirit keeps on witnessing with our spirit that we are children of God. Our sense of sonship grows with our understanding of the Bible. That's why we study the Bible, we study doctrines, we come to sermon, we come to worship God. We want our understanding to grow, bit by bit, little by little. As we grow in our understanding, as we grow in our faith, we're not just to hear God's word, we're to believe God's word. And as we grow in our personal experience of the love of God. Our sense of being children of living God grow. Adoption gives us a sense of acceptance, comfort, protection, provision, security. Let me just briefly go through this. Adoption gives us a sense of acceptance with God. My dear friends, tonight, do you feel accepted by others? And if most of you say yes, well, thanks be to God. But tonight, even if you feel that others do not really accept you, maybe even your loved one does not accept you, you don't have many friends, but you believe in Jesus, I want to tell you, in the name of God, your Father in heaven has accepted you fully in Christ. And who cares whether others accept me or not? Whether I'm popular or not, if God has accepted me, if God is my Father, I have more than enough acceptance. You know how we can be crazy for acceptance. I'm not against teenage girls, young ladies, but we heard of cases like teenage girls, young women, they crave for acceptance. They want to be beautiful. They want people to praise them as beautiful girls. So they put up these photos in Facebook and they were waiting for this light. And people say, oh, so and so, you're so beautiful. They may be lying, but doesn't matter. You want the light, isn't it? If God likes us, you and I don't need to be crazy for the light in Facebook or whatever. Acceptance. I'm a child of God. God has accepted me. With that comes the sense of comfort. What a comfort it is to know that we have a Father in heaven who loves us and cares for us. Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. This morning, I saw a young child fell down on the footpath here. You can guess who that young lady is. And immediately she cried out. Her mother came, pick her up and embrace her. That is what Paul is talking about here. Because you are sons, because you have been adopted into God's family, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your heart. In time of need, in time of trouble, maybe despair, we cry out instinctively, Abba, Father. We confide in our Father in heaven. We have confidence in our Father in heaven. What a comfort it is. Protection. Back to that child again. We cry out to our Father. We got protection. Provision. Our Father will provide for every need. Security. A child feels so secure in the embrace of the Father. And you can work that out, can't you? And not just that. We not only have our present acceptance with God and God's provision and protection and comfort and acceptance, we have a glorious future, my dear friend. Listen to what Paul says in verse 7 of Galatians 4. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Friends, when we believe in Jesus, we're adopted into God's family. We become heirs of God. We inherit an immense inheritance from our Father in heaven. I notice in English, when we come to New Year, we say Happy New Year. And Australians are nice. I notice around New Year, everyone seems to be happy, even in such a time, and people love to say Happy New Year. In Chinese New Year, we have another way of greetings. The standard Chinese greeting in Chinese New Year is that you congratulate someone you meet to have a lot of money. That's it. Don't say that, please. Don't learn Chinese to say that. I don't think it's right at all. Last year, I think about January, late January, I was flying to Hong Kong. I was in the Sydney airport. I passed customs. I was surprised to see an Australian man, big guy, dressing up as the Chinese money god. Full gear, Chinese dress as a Chinese money god. We wish you to have a great fortune, to have a lot of money. My dear friends, we have an immense inheritance when we become children of the living God. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 17. A parallel passage. Paul says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We have become children of God. We have become heirs of God. And we are co-heirs with Christ. But let me say a word here. We use the word sonship. Adoption of sons. This is the Bible's language. I don't think we should change that language. Not right. Sonship. Adoption of sons. But this is not a gender issue. When Paul says, believers, man, female, they are adopted into God's family, they become sons. Paul is emphasizing that as believers in Christ, we get the inheritance. Because Paul is speaking to a culture that daughters don't get inheritance. But if daughters are counted as sons, they get the inheritance. And it was not so ancient, isn't it? Some of us here, I'm sure we know something of this. The girls don't get inheritance. The boys get the inheritance. And so often, it's the daughters who do the hard work looking after parents, and then when parents pass on, it's the sons who got the inheritance. Well, that is how it works. But Paul's point is this. Whether you're male or female, you're believing in Christ, you get inheritance. It's not a gender issue. And we're going to ask, what is the inheritance that we're going to get? We're going to get what the Lord Jesus Christ get from his Father. What does Jesus get as his inheritance? Is it not all things? Is it not the kingdom of God? But there's something more. What does Jesus get from his Father? Ultimately, is it not God himself? Yes. In the resurrection morning, in the garden, the risen Lord Christ said to Mary Magdalene, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So beautiful. So precise. That the distinction between God and Jesus, unique Father, is the unique Son of God, and our doctrine. I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. I'm ascending to my God and your God. I tell you, friends, ultimately, our inheritance is God Himself. That's what you girls get when you get married. What do you get when you get married? You may get a driver. That's wonderful, isn't it? You may get a bread earner. That's wonderful also. You get someone to take care of the cockroaches and the spiders. That's wonderful. You may get someone to mow the lawn. That's wonderful. But what do you really get? It's not a driver, not a cleaner, not a gardener. You get a husband. You get a man. Our ultimate inheritance is God Himself. Just before we finish, let us look briefly at some duties we have to our Father in heaven as His adopted children. What are our duties to God our Father? First of all, be faithful. How amazing is God's love for us. And after all, adoption is not an afterthought of God. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. Adoption lies in the mind of God before the creation of this world. Amazing love. The electing love of God. The dying love of Christ. The love of the Spirit is living in us. Our second duty to God is that we are to be trustful of God. How much, my dear friend, we should be ashamed of our worries and anxieties. Years ago, J. Adam, when he went around preaching, he would like to ask people, well, who has worries? Almost everyone put up their hands. It was in the congregation of Christian believers. So many hands put up. And they would ask, who has committed adultery? Where have your hands? Who has stolen? Where have your hands? And then we would turn around and say, you people are not ashamed of your sin of anxiety. We should be ashamed. I should be ashamed. Jerem would say, well, you're ashamed of your adultery. That's why so few hands put up. I put up. But often everyone put up their hand. I got a problem with worries. And he would say again and again, worry is a sin. Listen to what Jesus our Lord says to His own disciples. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So why do you worry? O you of little faith. Therefore do not worry. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Why do we worry? Can we not trust our Heavenly Father's provision and protection? Can we not trust our Heavenly Father's wisdom and love for us? After all, my Father loved me so much as to give me His Son. Is He going to withhold any good thing from me if He spared not His Son? Well, friends, I do feel this is a great subject, and I do think we need to come back to this subject of adoption and consider next week or even beyond next week. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank you that we can call you Abba, Father. We thank you that you have given us that instant, not only to believe in Christ, but to cry out to you, Abba, Father. Forgive us, O God, of our worries and anxieties. We want to take control of our lives, our future, instead of trusting in you fully. Oh Lord, forgive us. We pray that you may speak to us your love, and that we may grow in our sense of sonship, that we are your children, and you are our God and our Father. In Jesus' name, Amen.